Hello, everyone. Welcome to Prime Leader Sponsored Call, and this is Cheryl Vallejos. And today, the name of our call is 8 Ways to Ask for Business. And I hope you have a pencil and paper ready, because there'll be some good information that Karen's going to bring to us. And now I'd like to introduce Karen Van Warmerdam. Karen brings us some really good information, and she has over 20 years of experience in sales and business development. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Basha. Okay, I'll give you just a half a minute little background on me, and I have been the last years coaching on sales, marketing, business development, mostly with entrepreneurs and sales professionals in a variety of service and product businesses. And previously, I had a corporate career, which was mostly in a sales role, and also a couple years in marketing roles. So that's my background. And what I put together today is some information on ways to comfortably ask for the business so that you can bring the sales process to its logical end. So that's what I have to share today. If you have questions as we go along, I'd appreciate if you chimed in and did that. There will be notes at the later today. So jot down anything that really strikes you, but you don't have to jot down everything, because you will be getting some notes afterwards. So if there's not anything else to begin with, then Cheryl,
Karen,
we can dive in.
Sure. Can you explain to us what you mean by asking for business?
But that's a very typical sales industry phrase, to ask for the business. So if it's not familiar to you because you haven't been in sales, then that's a normal type of cliche, where a sales manager could say to a salesperson, "Well, did you ask for the business?" And in sales terminology, it really means, have you asked the prospect to buy from you? Did you ask the prospect for the deal? In practical terms, I like to think about it as giving your prospect the opportunity to buy from you, so to make it easy for them to do business with you. So when I talk about asking for the business, other people talk about closing the deal. I have more of a tendency to phrase that in, did you bring the sales process to its end and actually ask for the business, or ask to do the business with the client? So that's sales terminology for those of you who are not accustomed to being in sales.
Thank you.
Okay. And what it'll bring you is a couple things. If you take the initiative to do this, you'll be much more efficient, because you'll drive the process and you'll move it forward, so you'll take control of the situation. And for people who aren't easily going to make a decision, you can help them understand that now's the time for you to decide. So there's a couple of really important reasons why, if you don't do that, you sort of lose control of the sales process, and sometimes it can just sort of hang there.
That makes a lot of sense. Who's joined our call?
Benita Shelby.
Hi, Benita. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Karen, this all makes a lot of sense. What are some of the reasons why this is so important to do?
Well, I'd like to also open that up to everybody. If you think about your situations before, where you have maybe had contact with a particular prospect, and you would like them to actually then, make the decision, but they haven't, or they don't, or it's a little bit awkward for them, or it's a little awkward for you. Think about those situations. And if you look at those of you who've maybe been on the call with a call with me before, I talk about the steps that you have to go through to bring the sales process to its completion. So this is really the last step. And what you want to do is you want to first make it easy for people to do business with you by making it easy for them to say yes, giving them an opening in the conversation for them to say yes. Okay, so that makes it comfortable and it makes it easy for them. And by then moving the sales process forward, you're actually going to get a result. They're either going to give you I'm sorry, there's some background noise on the phone.
It's like we have a bad echo today.
I don't hear an echo, but it's maybe a bad connection. For the person who's having a problem, could you either call back or press, if you could hear us fine, press *5 to mute your phone? Okay, so let's go back to just a couple reasons why you want to take the effort to actually ask for the business. You want to stay in control of the process, and you want to move it forward. You want to reach a conclusion. You want to, for people who don't easily make a decision, you want to actually push the decision. You want to make it clear that it's now time for them to make a decision. And that's just a style that certain people have. You may have been in a situation like that where some people have a hard time making a decision. They're just not, style-wise or personality-wise, very decisive. So they need to sort of get the prompt, and that's what you want to do when you ask for the business, is you want to prompt them to make a decision. It's also important because you want to recoup your investment. At this point in the process, you've already done your marketing work, you've done some sales work, you've invested time and money and effort. And so you want to get a resolution to your process. And if the answer is no, then you want to be able to know that so that you don't put any more investment in a prospect where it's not going to turn into business. And the last one is that in the process of prompting or asking for the business, you'll find out if there's any remaining objections that you didn't know about that's blocking the person or the company from making the sale. So I'd like to open it up to see if there are any questions on those, or if anybody has any other ideas about why this is important, or the type of situations that you've had maybe before where it didn't go very well, and what happened there. Would anyone like to share about that?
Well, you know, Karen, I have an experience with this that last week I did a presentation at ASBA here. And it went well. It actually went very well. And there were 5 people that said on their survey that they wanted to sign up for the program. It's a 4-week program. Well, that was really good, but I should have made more of an effort to close the sale, because now it's getting harder to do afterwards. So this information is really helpful for me.
So these are people who expressed an interest,
yes,
but you
they
didn't
did.
Follow up like the next day.
That's right. Or I could have even had a form ready then, because they were very ready then. You know, the topic was having more time on your side, and that's what these people indicated that they really wanted help with. So that was...
So you can see now that there was something else you could have done to actually ask for the business at that time.
There sure was, and I didn't realize it at the time, so all this information that you're giving us is really good.
Okay. Before we go to the next... Yes?
I was just going to say, a lot of times the reason why I think this call is so helpful for me is a lot of times I will place a sample with someone and ask them to try it, and I'm going to call them to get their feedback. And, you know, my goal of the call is obviously for them to either book a party or to actually purchase the skincare. And a lot of times I find myself calling up and going, well, how did you like the sample? And they say, oh, I love it. It was great. And then I'm kind of like, there goes that echo again. And then I'm kind of like, okay, great. I'm glad you liked it. Have a nice day. And then I get off the phone and I'm going, okay, well, I never even asked that person to... But, you know, I guess I have a hard time translating. I mean, they love the sample. They gave me yes, yes, yes. And then I'm like, okay, great. You know, and so I don't really have the verbiage, or I don't know what it is I don't have, or I'm not actually turning that into, well, great, I'm assuming you're going to want to purchase my product after you loved it and I got a yes in every other area. So how am I to open that up, that conversation, to where I'm actually asking...
Yeah, that sounds like point number 8 on the list here.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that's exactly what's happening, is that you're missing sort of the verbiage for that very last step.
Okay.
So that'll go through that.
Okay.
It's partially just literally having the words to say.
Okay.
That's part of it, because if you've, from the sound of it, you've sort of done the appropriate next steps, you know, the appropriate steps in the process, give them a sample, follow up, ask them what they thought. But then, of course, there's the very last one of, well, then how do you literally close the deal, or how do you literally ask for the business?
Right.
Yeah.
Which I recognize I'm not doing.
You're not doing that. Okay. Yeah, great. And then you leave and hang up the call knowing that it didn't go well.
Right.
Right. And it's also awkward.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Megan. That was a good question. I think that happens to a lot of people.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly the type of things that we want to avoid. We want to avoid two things. We want to avoid it being an awkward situation for either you or the prospect, or it being a pressure situation. And that's completely possible to do. It doesn't have to be pressure, or it doesn't have to be awkward.
Okay.
So, yes?
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I may just say that I deal with lots of very young people, because they are students and they are prospect students and they would like to get involved with education. They make all the effort and put time. They come to my office. They spend a couple of hours. They talk to me. They take the assessment test. They go through all this process.
Where's the difficulty then?
Then they go and the last thing is just that they register and they come and show up to their classes, but then they go home and they never come back.
Okay, all right. So I think in the 8 steps we'll probably cover some options for you to do with that.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So getting back to that last section, there's just two things that What I'd like to mention before we actually dive into those 8 things, okay? And for those of you who've been trying to close a sale and not quite gotten the hang of it, I want you to first think about the end. What are you actually wanting the person to either do or to say? Because depending on what you're selling, and if you're selling to an individual or a company, you're looking for different things that would signify that you got the business or that you closed the deal.
Karen,
so, yes?
How can we avoid the pressure of the awkward sales situation?
Well, that's part of what this is about, is that you want to keep the end in mind. So you want to realize, okay, what am I actually trying to accomplish in this process? What's this last step that I want this person to make? And the answer is oftentimes, especially if you're just selling to an individual, it's a logical part of a conversation, which means it doesn't have to be any pressure. Okay, so if you have followed your sales process, then you can avoid an awkward conversation because you've worked up to the point where you actually ask for the business. And then you can ask it in a very easy way, in very comfortable verbiage, that flows in the conversation. Because, you know, just the example that that Megan gave about how they say yes and yes and yes, and so they're enthusiastic and they're positive, so that's working your way up to the last point. And then it's not a pressure situation, and it's not an awkward situation for either person. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. So for someone who doesn't really feel comfortable in sales, just knowing where to start with all of that.
Right. So one of the first things to start with is remembering what type of indicator is the getting the deal or closing the business. So for some person, it might be an action that you're looking for. Is there anybody on the call who actually sells to businesses where they have to generate a purchase order?
Yeah, this, yeah, I do.
Right. So you're looking maybe for a purchase order. Okay, so that's what that's going to signify that you've closed the business. So what you're going to ask for is something different than, for instance, Megan. Okay. So you may be asking for a signature. You may be asking for a signature on a contract or a purchase order. You may be asking to receive a retainer or a deposit or a check from them. So that's an action that you could be looking for. But in other types of sales, you might actually just be looking for a verbal response for them, like a yes or an okay, or I'll take it, or I'd like this one, or I'd like to make an appointment. So depending on your business, you have to be clear on what it is that the next step is and work your way up to that. And if you work your way up to that and understand how to get there in a conversation, then you can be more comfortable about it. So the second thing I want to remind people before we dive into the eight is that you need to be flexible with that, because the other part that's different is not only what type of action or response you're looking to get, but what's the situation and the person that you're dealing with or the company that you're dealing with. And that can affect how you need to handle that conversation. So if they've done business with you before, it will make a difference. If they already know you well or they know your product well, it will make a difference. If they have all the information, the materials they need, if they're well-informed or not well-informed, it will make a big difference. Tasha, you're working with people who have not made this type of decision before, and it's a very big decision, correct?
Yes, it is.
Right. So that makes it harder and a little bit more challenging because they haven't made this type of decision before, and it's a very big decision for them. Okay?
Yes.
And in a company, if there's a formal purchasing process, that will also have a great effect on how you need to work up to the actual part of closing the sale or asking for the business. And there'll be more steps in the process. So keep those two things in mind. Being flexible for what the situation is, the product and the service, and the person you're dealing with, and also keeping the end in mind. Those are the two things that I'd say before you start into figuring out the verbiage, what you want to remember for your particular sales situation. Does that answer your question, Cheryl?
It does. Thank you. That was helpful.
Okay. So then what I'd like to do is dive into those eight that I have here, and they'll be in your notes. But before we do that, is there anybody else who's joined on the call in the meantime? If you could let us know that you're here. No? Okay. Okay, so the first one of the eight is to ask for direct feedback. And that can sometimes be just a setup to the actual direct close, but it can also allow the person to buy from you at the same time. So I think, Megan, you asked, you mentioned in your contribution here on the call, you asked, oh, so what did you think, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have these situations sometimes where someone will then follow up with the response and then say that they want to order something?
Sometimes, hopefully.
Right. Sometimes, hopefully.
Right.
Okay. So in that instance, what they're doing, and this is like the bonus number for the eight. It's actually number nine. Is depending on the person, and if you're lucky and if you've done a great job, the customer will close themselves. Okay. So ideally, That's the nicest part. Okay, the customer actually closes themselves, and by giving them the prompt and asking for the business in a relatively soft, no pressure way, you give them the opportunity to do that. So you could ask, "What do you think?" for instance, or you could say, "Now that we've discussed things so far, or now that you've reviewed this, can you tell me what you think about it?" Those are options, okay? And it gets their evaluation and gives them an opening and an opportunity to actually close themselves. So that's item number one. Item number two is what I call get a temperature reading. And depending on the person and what you're selling, you could sort of do number one in a slightly different way. And it can also be done depending on the tone of the voice or the relationship you have with the person. And that is, instead of asking them what they think, you can ask them how they feel or how they felt.
Okay.
Depending on the product, you could ask them how it felt. Like if you're selling a car and they took a test drive, so you can say, so how did it feel? Because it was literally something physically they did. Or if you're selling a skincare product, you could ask about how it felt instead of what they think about it, how they felt. So it depends on the person as well as the product or the service, right? Or if you're selling, for instance, a home or a place or physical environment or a chair, you could ask them that same thing. You know, how does this environment feel to you? Not only what you think, but what you feel. And again, that can give them a prompt or an opportunity to then give you the go-ahead. Okay, so are those two clear?
Yes.
Karen, this is probably the spot where you would know when to walk away, when, you know, this is a no or a yes.
A lot of times you can get a very strong indication from those two if they're holding back and they have objections or they have reluctance, but they're maybe not expressing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you can sort of get, and that's why you can, but just by getting the feedback, you can know where you're at. And then that helps you decide how to handle it next. You know, to ask them a more direct question or to go to sort of the next type of options that I'm going to give you. But you're exactly right. By getting the feedback for them, if they don't close the deal themselves, you'll have a much better idea of what you're up to. Okay? And you won't know that until you ask. So item number three is similar to item number four, but they're slightly different. Item number three is to move the process forward is to ask them for the next action. And in their response to you, you'll get feedback again, and you'll give them an opportunity and an opening to close the deal themselves. But you will also purposely move the process forward, because if you remember, you know what you want to get to as the end result, then you know the next step that's coming. You know what it is that you would like them to do. So you can leave that as an open-ended question for them by asking them for the next action, or you can make it a little bit more closed and suggest the next action. So I have on my list that item number three is to ask them for the next action, and you could use phrasings like, what would you like to do next? Or what would you like us to do next? And if you use that phrasing again as a normal part of your conversation, it's a very low pressure and very comfortable way to, again, ask them for the business, give them the opportunity to close, or to find out that they maybe don't want to do the deal or the business or to buy anything. Number four is slightly different. It's suggesting the next action. So that's you being much more pointed and directing the process forward. So again, you have to know what you're trying to get and what you're trying to move towards, but you could phrase that verbiage along the lines of, how about if I... So you've been in a store before, and a salesperson will say, how about if I wrap this up for you, or can I wrap this up for you? Or how about if we, for instance, how about if we schedule the first appointment? Or can you... For instance, can you generate and sign the PO today, for instance? Okay, so you're asking or suggesting for the specific action that's actually going to basically close the deal. Does anybody have feedback on these two?
Well, on these two, number three and four, they're basically kind of similar, giving them the opportunity to close, but three is more like giving them the chance to kind of got direct and kind of take the close where it's going to go, and number four is more kind of like us in that assuming that they're going to want to take the next action.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Although, that's basically it. One of them is a little bit less pointed than the other.
Okay.
And again, depending on the situation, you know, you're going to make that decision by feel. What's going to feel good to you? What's going to feel right in the situation?
Okay.
Because there's other variables at play.
Okay.
You know, so if
what your fear, or what your fear level is with that particular person.
What your fear level is, or how ready they are to actually do it. If you feel that they're ready, and that's your sense, you know, after given the rest of the conversation that you've been doing, if you feel that they're ready, then you can really direct them.
Okay.
you know, that type of thing. Okay, but if they're less ready, you might want to just leave it a little bit more open and ask them what they'd like to do next. Okay?
Okay.
Five is one of them that you actually mentioned, Megan, and that is to actually check. You can, again, get feedback. You can give them an opening. You can ask them about their decision-making process if you're not making headway, or you can ask them about their purchasing process in the same way. So you want to basically check what's going on and what else is needed to close the business. So there are phrases here that I'll run through, and they'll be in the notes. And one of them is there anything else you need in order to fill in the blank? Okay. Is there anything else you need to know before, for instance, before writing me a check or before we start? Okay. Or before, you know, you can sign the contract. Is there any reason you don't want to do this? Or is there any reason you don't want to do this with us? Is there any reason we can't start? And that's one, for instance, where depending on how you say it, it could be playful or it could be very serious. Okay, so your voice comes into play also on all of this, which is why you don't want to take it out of context of the conversation. You don't want to plug in any of these phrases and not take into consideration the relationship and the situation with the person. Okay, another one here to check is there any reason we can't do this business for your company? Just maybe very applicable to a corporate sale. Is there any reason why we can't do this business with your company? And you're really asking, is there anything in the way for moving forward? And the last one, is there any reason we can't get this business from your company? Similar, just slightly different verbiage. Okay. And again, you will either get information that will help you move forward, or the person will close themselves. Okay. Is that one clear? Are there any questions on that? No?
Okay.
So six and seven are my slightly radical ones, and you may have heard of them before. And they have to do with asking for or telling the customer no. So number six is I can ask for the business by asking for no. You can basically have in your mind, well, I think in this situation, because I either want to take the pressure off or because I think the real answer is a no, I'm going to turn the conversation into a conversation where I'm setting it up to get a no. Because if the answer is really a no, I want a no. And what you'll do is you will help take the pressure out of the situation. You'll give people the opportunity to not buy if that's really what they're looking for, but they're uncomfortable telling you. Okay, you will push the decision point. You will move the process forward. At the same time, you'll get feedback. You'll get clarity. You'll learn something. You'll get some market research as to maybe what's in the way. You can prioritize the relationship. You can be more efficient with your time. And you can flush out an objection if there's really just an objection that's in the way. So for asking for a no, you can use some phrases where, again, your voice and how you ask and the tone or the speed, the softness or the harshness of your voice will make a big difference. So some options just to ask for a no could be, are you ready to make a decision on this? And again, that's something that can come up very easily in the conversation. You could say it very lightly. Tell me, you know, after we've discussed all this, do you feel you're really ready to make a decision on this, or are you ready to make a decision on this, or not yet? Another option is, I don't think or I'm not sure this is a good fit for you. What do you think? Is it? And that's opening the door for the person to say no. Third one, are you ready to go ahead or not really? Fourth one, I have a feeling this isn't a good fit, am I right? And the last one I noted is, I need to ask you, do you not want to do this business? Do you not want to do this deal? And again, given the situation, the service, the product, the relationship you have, and the conversation that you have, and the tone that you ask that, they can come across as very hard, or they can come across as very soft and very personable. Does anybody have any comments or questions on that or examples where you've done that before?
When we ask this question, they usually say that, let me think about it. And that let me think about it, so they have to go back. And, there are other salesperson, other colleges in my case, and other pressures in order to get them registered for their own college. So all of a sudden, they are kind of floating in the air, and they don't know where to land, and somewhere along the way, they may land that is not even a suitable choice for them, but this is where they are.
Okay, so you might want to ask them a more direct question.
Right.
You might want to flush out their objection more.
Right.
Because some people who say, well, let me think about it, they really just do want some time to think about it. They're not going to make an immediate decision. Other people have a particular reason. So you could ask them, well, are there other places that you were considering that you think you prefer right now? And they maybe tell you, and then you could ask them, well, why do you think you would like that more than, you know, what we're offering here? And then you actually have some information to deal with that reluctance and that objection. Does that make sense, Tasha?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So when they come back to you with, well, let me think about it, you know, this could be another call that Cheryl and I have talked to, is how do you handle those objections? And that's a common objection, let me think about it. But if you feel it's appropriate to push them a little bit, you can find phrases and words and questions to really get more information and go into that issue with them. And you can find out more about what's really going on with them, if their answer is really a no or not, or if there's something more you need to do or give them or explain that will help them make the decision. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You might ask them, well, you know, what other places are you considering going to? And which one do you think is your favorite right now? And then you could say, you know, why, if they don't tell you.
Okay.
Does that help a little?
Yes, yes, of course.
Okay. Anyone else?
Karen, I know you and I have talked about this before, but can you tell us why it's important to get the no?
Yeah, why it's important to get the no. Some people will have a very hard time saying no. The most important reason is you want to be as efficient with your time as possible. So instead of spending another half hour with somebody where the answer really is no, you want to find that out and bring the whole process to its conclusion, because it will allow you to move on to the next prospect and maybe close a different deal. So the first thing is being much more efficient with your time. The second one is that if someone's really not convinced, but they sort of half-heartedly go along, they're not going to be, it's not going to be a great business situation for you. It's not going to prove to be a customer that's going to be real happy. You're not going to be as comfortable with the business, okay? And it's not necessarily going to be somebody who's going to then refer you customers or clients or people. So it's taking a long look at the situation and prioritizing the relationship, and taking a short look in the immediate time frame and prioritizing your time and your priorities. Which, Cheryl, leads me to point number 7, which is when you've decided that this is not the type of customer you want, or this is not the type of business you want, or you really have spent enough time trying to get this business and it's not coming together, to tell them to walk away. Now again, this can have the reverse effect of, you know, when you ask for a no or when you tell somebody no, you can actually, if somebody really wants to do the business, they will not give you a no. They will close themselves. So by asking for a no or by telling somebody no, you can actually force the situation so that they close themselves. So 7, when you actually tell them no or you tell them to walk away, you can make a summary for the person, and you can. And I would do this when I feel that the answer is no, or I'm pretty sure that this is not good business to move forward because they're not sure, because I don't feel that they're sure. And what I would do then is I sort of take a summary of where we've been and where we're at, what their situation is, what's the fit between what I have to offer and maybe what they need. And I could say, so if we look at this, you know, situation, this is sort of how I see it. And given that, and then you could sort of, you know, reiterate some highlights, you can then give them a no or very close to a no, which is, I don't think this is going to be a good fit for you because, you know, you need X, Y, and Z, and what we really have here in this proposal is A, B, and C. Or, I'm not sure we should put any more effort into this, so here's what I think we should do instead. And I did that recently with someone a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, given your situation, what's going on right now, why don't we leave it for now? And, you know, when and if you get around to it, you know where to find me. In a very nice way, because she just really wasn't ready to say yes, and I didn't want to put her into a pressure situation at all. And she may very well come back to me later in the next month or the next year. Or the type of situation where a person is really poor at making a decision. By actually sort of summarizing that situation and proposing an action where nothing's done, if they're really actually feeling that that's the best thing and that's the most appropriate thing, then they'll agree with you. And you can tell by their response that that's actually the appropriate thing to do. And they'll be happier with you. Okay? So 6 and 7 are similar, but again, slightly different as to how strong and how strong they are and how you phrase it. And so 6 was asking for a no, and 7 is basically telling them a no, or telling them their no, by giving them kind of a summary of the situation. And again, two things will either happen. You'll either get them to close the business because their answer is really yes, or more likely, you'll use this in a situation where the answer is really no, but they're not clear on it or they're not able to tell you. And then you'll be able to wrap things up quickly and move on to the next sale and then close the next business. Okay, so those of you who've been on a call with me before, you know that I usually bring up this issue about the efficiency of your time and asking for a no, or basically telling them the no that they have that they're not voicing, is a way to do that. Any feedback on that before we go to the last one? Questions?
I was just going to ask, statistically wise, to get one yes, don't you have to get like 9 no's? I mean, to basically get one person to say yes to offering a business or a product. And so kind of helping with that process, step 7 and 6 and 7, you're kind of just kind of getting through your no's. If you know people aren't interested, okay, great, tell me no and just move forward.
Right. And I'd say depending on the business and the service and how your marketing is, you know, you may get, you know, one no to or two no's to every one yes, or you may have to go through 30 no's to get to a yes.
Okay.
So I'd say the number of no's you're going to get for every yes can vary depending on, you know, the other variables. But that's absolutely true that, you know, not everybody's going to say yes. So it's a salesperson's skill and imperative to be aware of, okay, who are my no's? Where do I not want to spend my time? Because you have your most valuable asset as a salesperson is your sales time. And if you calculate it out, you have very few sales days, very few sales hours. Anybody who's in an independent business knows that. If you look at everything else you have to do, the amount of sales hours you have is really small. So that's, again, where that comes down is, you know, be comfortable with the no and move forward. Did a class on that, didn't we, Cheryl?
We sure did. that was a good class.
Anybody else about these two? Okay. One last comment I've had is, I've had a situation where the great thing about doing this way is it really takes the pressure off the person, so you can feel that in the relationship and in the discussion, and that some people actually really do come back to you later. So that's something to keep in mind, again, the longer term, is prioritizing the relationship and keeping that situation comfortable as opposed to awkward, okay? So the last one is what I call a direct close, and it's not an open-ended question. It's very much a closed-ended question. You're looking for the equivalent of a yes. By posing a closed-ended question, and you can see a lot of the other phrasing I've given you and the other options could be very open-ended, but this one's really closed-ended. So this is like the end of the line, sort of a little bit of Megan's example of where you want to be efficient, where you think you've covered all the bases already. You want to give people the opportunity again and push the decision point, push the process to the end. And you will get clarity, and you will flush out any remaining objections again. So my favorite phrasings for that are actually very simple. It's like, would you like to? And then it's fill in the blank. So it could be, would you like to place an order? Or shall we fill in the blank? Or shall I, if the action is on you, to do something? Okay? And it could be, would you like to sign the papers? Would you like to move forward? Would you like to make an appointment? Would you like to go ahead? Would you like to start today? Okay, would you like to place an order? Okay, can you sign the purchase order today? All right? And again, if the answer is no, for some reason, you want to know, what's holding this back, or, what's in the way of that happening? Another different way to phrase it is, again, could be softer, or could be more direct, depending on how you fill in the blanks and how you phrase it, is if you'll, for instance, fill in the blank, then we'll fill in the blank. So if you sign the contract today, then what I'll do is X, Y, and Z. Okay, or if you can get me a purchase order today, then I'll make sure that you get delivery by the end of the month. Okay? So that's also a very direct way of pushing the action on the table and having the person give you an answer, yes, I'll do that or not.
Karen, I think this is the part that most people kind of forget or don't do well, is this last step.
This last step. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why in the beginning of the class we spent a little time talking about what is the action or the answer that you want this person to do, that you need this person to do. So you need to be clear on that, because if you get all the way to the end, really what's the end of the conversation or the end of the road, you need to know what the question is that you're going to ask them. Okay? So, can you generate a purchase order for me today? Or can you get me a purchase order? I have the papers here for you to sign. Are you ready to sign them today? Can you sign them now? And then, I'll go take care of, whatever else. Right? Megan, does that address some options for you in your conversations that you gave the example of earlier?
Yes. Yes, I'm actually filling in the blanks with things that, come to mind of what my end result would like to be, is how I would phrase those questions at the end of my conversation.
Right. Right. Okay. Anyone else have a question or a comment on this, or a situation that maybe you don't see where the any of the eight apply, or what the exact phrasing would be for you, that I can help you out, because we have a couple more minutes before we need to wrap up?
Well, it looks like you covered a lot of the points for us. That's great. What I would like to do, Karen, is ask everyone what they're taking away from the call today. So would anyone like to start what you found most valuable for your situation from the call? Who would like to go first?
This is Pasha, and I would like to really say that I appreciate the point you made about the sales time, because for some reason I've been spending lots of time with each student in order to make that sale, and in some cases, which is most cases, The answer is no. And I could have kind of find out that the first half an hour instead of spending an hour and a half, and at the end get to the same result.
Okay.
And I think that that is a valuable point that I was not paying attention to it before.
So you want to push that process forward a little faster so you can find out if the answer is really a no earlier.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else would like to share?
Well, this is Megan. I also felt like that part of moving that process forward of just kind of instead of having that dead air, that space, and I actually do get a lot of no's, which sometimes we take as rejection, because in my business I actually go looking for clients and go out looking for people. They don't come to me. So I think just kind of pushing through that process and just kind of qualifying them, whether they are someone I would choose to do business with. I have to remember it's my choice. It's my home-based business. I think that kind of just helps because, you know, it's not rejection. It's really just finding people that fit, you know, in your business and that would fit into your organization. So I think that was really helpful as well.
And Megan, one of the ways to do that is to make sure that you have what I call an ideal client profile. You look at all your best customers and you make a list, okay, who's the type of client that I really, really want?
Okay.
And you'll be able to see better what your qualification criteria are. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So if you don't have that or if you haven't reviewed it in a while, you can take a look at that and remember that that's one of the ways you're going to qualify or disqualify people in your sales process.
Okay.
You know, Karen, since you mentioned that, that's really a good way to know, too, how to spend your marketing dollars the wisest.
Yes, that's the beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who do you market to?
Mm-hmm.
For step one. In that whole process. Who are you going to talk to begin with?
Yeah.
Bill, can we hear from you? Are you still there? Or maybe you have to get off the call.
How about Bernita?
Hey, is there anyone else who's been quiet? I thought we had some more people, Cheryl.
Yeah, Bernita.
This is Bernita, and I guess what I got is a confirmation of what I'm doing, that I am doing the conversations that I'm having, that I am looking for the no. And I'm hearing it immediately. I guess I'm probably not addressing it until the end. But it just kind of helped me to see that there was nothing wrong with me, you know, looking to hear the no so that I would know, you know, well, this is not necessarily a no forever, but it's a no not right now, and so that I can, you know, maybe come back to them at another time when it's best, you know, when the timing is best for them.
Right. So Bernita, do I understand it to say that you sort of spent more time on people that let you know earlier on or indicated relatively early on that the answer was probably no, but you didn't clarify that when you had the chance?
Yeah. I didn't address it earlier.
Yeah.
And I
do this,
go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, there's one phrase used in sales that says you want to qualify out and you want to qualify early, i.e., as soon as possible. If you smell that there's really a no,
right?
You want to get clear on that.
Yeah.
That's sort of what you're talking about, correct?
It is, but I guess in the context of in my case, giving like a 45-minute complimentary, I wouldn't want to cut the whole session, you know, because I'm hearing early on that they're not in the position to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I still have that element in there that I can't just say, okay, well, you know, it was nice talking to you, and we're going to, you know, I have to fulfill what I said I was going to do. But it's just that I may find it out earlier, and then at the end of this complimentary 45-minute coaching session, you know, I may or may not deal with, because actually they've already said, you know, that, you know, that they aren't in the position to go any further financially or whatever.
Right, and then what you're able to do is you're able to close the conversation in a very comfortable way. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do that, yeah.
Yeah. So you can again avoid any awkwardness and certainly avoid any pressure because you're aware, you're clear on what the situation is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that in itself is real valuable.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I was getting from that it was a confirmation of what I was doing was, you know, because I was feeling, oh, it's, you know, am I not doing something here? But if they're saying that, you know, I can't force them. So, yeah, that was very helpful to me.
And then what I would say is look at the points earlier in your process before you get to that point.
Uh-huh.
And determine if there is information that you can gather or there are things that you can do differently so that you can disqualify those people earlier so that they're not in the process quite so long. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the thing that I would look at, is saying, okay, you know, if I'm inviting, you know, 10 people and only one of them is turning into a client, is there any way I can change who I invite?
Right, yeah.
So that it's not 1 out of 10 that's becoming a client, but it's maybe 4 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
That's critical. Okay, thank you.
Great. Yeah, thanks for the feedback.
Okay.
It really helped a lot.
And Karen, for me, I took away a lot from all of the 8 points that you made, but for me it was especially the last one of the direct close, so that was very helpful. So thank you very much for bringing us this information today. And now we have about 4 minutes left. I'd like to take just a few minutes to give everyone a very special offer, 2 offers actually. One, I would like to extend a special invitation to join Prime Leaders for 30 days for a 30-day membership at no cost. And you can go onto the site and read about all the benefits. But one of the main things is you get 2 coaching calls a month for anyone that has not tried Prime Leaders before. You can see the benefit. And another thing we do are very special calls. In fact, we have one coming up in a couple of weeks that's mainly for networking and getting to know the other people all over the world who are in Prime Leaders. So you get to talk about your product, what you do, how you help people, and who your target audience is. So what members do, they not only buy from each other, but they refer to each other. So it's a very... it's a very nice community where people grow together, learn, and support each other. So if you have an interest in joining Prime Leaders, which is only $98 a month, please go to www.primeleaders.com, or you can email me, which is Cheryl@primeleaders.com, that's Cheryl, and take advantage of the 30 days free membership, which is just for the members on the call who have not experienced the coaching yet. And Karen, I think you have a very special deal for the listeners too, right?
Yeah, I decided after going through some material that if anyone would like to go into detail on the topic that we've sort of brushed through in general today, but go into detail for your specific situation, that it's not on the website, so you'll just have to email me, but I can put together a package of 4 coaching sessions for 45-minute coaching sessions. We'll talk about setting up and closing your particular deals in your business and those conversations to be more comfortable and to address how to handle the objections that can come up and to basically increase your efficiency and leverage your marketing efforts. So the price of that is $285. Unless you're already a member of Cheryl's community, in which case I'll offer that for $195. And the other thing that if you want to keep posted for me with any other classes I'm doing or news or information, you can join my announcements list email, which goes out once a month, and that's announcements@salesachievercoaching.com, or you can email me directly at Karen@salesachievercoaching.com if you're interested in any of that. Okay? So that was it for me, Cheryl.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you so much for bringing us the information today and all the good content. It was valuable information, and I'd like to offer a special thanks to all our joiners today. So thanks to everyone, and have a wonderful week.
I had a question in regards to the notes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Where will they be emailed or posted? Or
they'll be emailed.
Megan, I have your email address, don't I?
Yes.
You're on my list? Yes, I will.
Well, yes, because I received the email for this call, so I think so, yeah.
I will look up your email and make sure you get on the notes list, and the same way for Pasha and Dell. Danita, I don't have your email. Do you have that, Karen?
Danita, did your email come through me?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, did your email come through me?
The response, I don't know who, let's see, I know I got it yesterday, giving me the phone number.
Yeah, just 1 second. Let me double check.
Yes,
I have it. You're at Verizon, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I have that. I have her email, Cheryl.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So I'll follow up and send that out when they're finished.
Good question, Megan. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. I did take notes, but they are like chicken scratch, so I was hoping I can add mine to yours.
Good.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. Okay, well, everyone go and have a wonderful week, and hope to see you on the next call. You can learn about more classes coming up on the calendar page at Prime Leaders. So have a wonderful week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.